course, menopause isn't an illness. It's just a phase of life. It's just like going through puberty. And the hormones are changing, the reproductive hormones are changing, the estrogens and the progesterone. But also that is impacting on the major hormones as well. Adrenaline, cortisol, thyroid, these are all being affected.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Thriving to Surviving with Sharon Saylor. And as the name implies, I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm happy to be with you here tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another episode. Every Friday night, we bring you a brand new episode. And I'm back in the beautiful Pacific Northwest now, and I'm just loving these longer days. I don't know what it is about the longer days, but I guess I always feel more energetic and more vibrant, whatever's going on in my life. Even if I'm having a, you know, sort of a bad day, something about these longer days is just so delightful. The other night, I just got back from Europe, and the other night I was out. It was in Paris, and it was almost 10 p.m., and it was still light. It was so fun. I loved it. Anyway, I'm back here in the Pacific Northwest trying to get used to the time zone, and who should I call but my dear friend Pat Duckworth from London to ask her to be on the show. So we've got this huge time zone thing going on. It's 8 hours between us, but she's wonderful enough to be here with us today. And Pat is a cognitive hypnotherapist and an award-winning author of Hot Women, Cool Solutions, How to Control Menopause Symptoms Using Mind-Body Techniques. And we had her on the show a couple of years ago. I can't believe it's been that long, but we had her on the show a couple of years ago, and she was just awesome. The tips she shared were great, because one of the things I want to talk to Pat about is it menopause or is it autoimmune? Because when you read a lot of the symptoms, they tend to overlap. And I'll tell you, I got tired. I don't put up with it much anymore. But at first, when I was trying to find my diagnosis, I got tired of being told, women your age. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, this is more than women my age. Something is seriously wrong. So we'll learn more about Pat, because I want to get her on right away. Welcome, Pat. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Sharon. It's so much fun to be here. And I totally agree with you about these lovely long evenings. They're just beautiful.
Don't you feel more energetic during them? I don't know. In the winter, by 4 p.m. when it's dark, I just want to curl up and go to sleep.
I just love them so much. And here in Europe, you know, we just get these lovely long twilights, and it's a magical time. I love it.
Yeah, that's when I was in Paris. I stepped out at about, it was almost 10 p.m. Yeah. And it was still bright. I could see the Eiffel Tower just clear. I was like, this is so fantastic. Went for a walk and actually was out till almost midnight before it started to get pretty dark. I was like, this is great. We don't have it quite that long here in the Pacific Northwest, but I just enjoy it so much. Isn't it interesting? I know you use a lot of mind-body techniques, and isn't it interesting how our mind plays into, I'm not sure why I'm so energetic during these longer summer days. I tend to get more done.
Yeah, our brains are just programmed for it. You know, we just love these hours of light when we can get so much done. And yeah, it really lifts the mood. Of course, the other end of that is in the longer, darker periods of the winter is the mood dipping. But it happens every year, so prepare for it. Know it's going to happen and prepare. That's tip number one, be prepared for what you know is coming.
That's a great tip, and not just about the seasons, is it? I'm thinking. Well, you know, as I'm thinking about autoimmune, we'll get into menopause in a minute, guys, but as I'm thinking about autoimmune, so be prepared. Now that I'm 4 years plus into the diagnosis, I am prepared. When I first had symptoms, I was terrified. I was like, what is this? I can't move my legs. What, you know, all these things. Like, what is this? Now, just when I get that slight little twinge or that slight little inkling or that slight little bit of fatigue, I'm like, oh, time to go back to, you know, I got off track of the mindfulness techniques, the stress reduction techniques. I know you're a huge fan and have great tips for sleep hygiene and getting good night's sleep. So let's jump into any one of those because I love all your tips. Let's jump into sleep first because I hear that a lot. And I do, with all my travel, I do sometimes have trouble getting good quality sleep.
Yeah. Sleep is just so essential. We think of it as a time when we're doing nothing. You know, people say, oh, I don't just want to lay in bed. Your body and your brain are doing so much work when you're asleep. You know, scientists have looked into this so much because why would we deliberately put ourselves into this semi-conscious state if there wasn't a survival premium attached to it? And that's the conclusion that they've come to, is that, you know, when we were cave people, when our brains first developed, even though life was more dangerous then, there was still a survival premium about getting good sleep because of what it does to the body, how it rejuvenates, it repairs. For the mind, it's about consolidating memories and doing, it's almost like, you know, you're doing an update during the night as your brain takes on all the information that it's had during the day. So those regular good nights of sleep, absolutely essential for all aspects of your health.
I recently read a study which was made so much sense, that it was this time for the body, not, as you said, all this different rejuvenation, but they had found that the brain and the body, the whole thing, actually does this flushing process of all the negative things. They were finding all those sorts of negative things that have happened during the day that your body consolidates and begins to try to flush it out of the system. And I was like, no wonder. I mean, one of the things they say about autoimmune is it's a collection sometimes of toxins. Wow.
Yeah, you've got to let your body do its thing. I think of it, you know, the two phases or the two cycles of sleep that repeat during the night. I had to do this with my hands because I'm such a visual person. You know, the first part, the slow wave sleep, I think of that as when the cleaners come in. You know, the cleaners have come into the house, so it's nice and quiet, and they've gone into the first room and they're putting everything back where it should be and doing the dusting and repairing a few things. And then after they've done the first room, they have to go off for a tea break. It's during the night, they don't go off for a coffee break. And while they're away, the filing clerks come out, and this is rapid eye movement. You know, the filing clerks are now, you know, what do we need to put away where? Let's get everything in order. Let's sort out what happened during the day. And they need to do their work. As you're dreaming, your brain is making sense of the day and what did happen and what you wished had happened and how you would have done it differently. Your brain is doing all that work. They go off for their tea break. Back come the cleaners, do the next room. And this cycle kind of repeats during the night, about 4 or 5 times during the night. The body doing what it needs to do and the brain doing what it needs to do. That's why we need these hours of sleep. You know, forget that whole just power nap at night. You know, you need a good length of sleep for all this work to take place.
Oh, I know what you mean. I do have, with my travels though, and I meet a lot of people who are like, oh, I can sleep anywhere. I can sleep on a plane and catch up on all the sleep I lost, you know. But I'm like, every time I sleep on a plane, it's not the same quality. That's all I can say.
No, well, I mean, I have tips for sleeping on planes. As you know, I travel quite a bit. So I take my earplugs with me if I'm not going to get one of those nice little packs that has the earplugs in. And I take my eye mask because, you know, the things that trigger us into sleep, we don't just sleep because time has passed and we've got tired. Our brain is responding to external stimuli of darkness, of quietness, of cool, the things that we would have experienced as cave people. And that's what stimulates the brain to release the hormones that prepare that gateway for sleep. You know, when you start to get drowsy and it's quite a nice feeling and the pressure for going off to sleep is there. And that's the release of quite a complicated cocktail of hormones into the blood. So if you're flying and you're sitting on a plane, to stimulate those hormones, put on the eye mask, put the earplugs in, you know, get yourself nice and snuggled down and get off to sleep, and at least give your brain a chance to do some of that work.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to be honest, though, I cannot wear an eye mask. So what I do is I always travel with a scarf like this, throw it over my head. Two things happen. It's like, nobody wants to talk to you. You can sleep. I mean, an eye mask does the same thing, too. But and also, the thing that always amazes me on an airplane is they wake you to ask you if you need food. And yeah. I'm like, no one ever wakes me when I have this scarf thrown over my head. So there are lots of ways to cover your eyes without wearing a mask. But let's get into sleep. We're at home. We're at home. Yeah. And, you know, I know through the menopause, I had sleep dysregulation. It was hard to sleep. I'd get night sweats. Other things would go on. It was uncomfortable. But you add on top of that some pain and joint pain and discomfort from an autoimmune condition. I have to say, when I first got the diagnosis, for a good year and a half, getting more than a couple hours of sleep a night was really tough until you and I had that chat and you gave me some great tips. So let's share some of those great tips again. I especially love the one about counting and exhaling.
First of all, make sure, you know, some of the things we've talked about, make sure your bedroom is your sleep haven. So it is quiet and dark and cool and ventilated. And of course, that first rule, don't take anything electronic into your bedroom. Leave that mobile phone outside. And I've always felt a bit uncomfortable about Kindles as well. I had that feeling that they probably weren't good to be reading in bed. And that turns out to be right because they emit blue light, and blue light helps to stimulate the brain. So if you're reading a Kindle in bed at night, it's stimulating your brain rather than helping you to sleep. But get rid of those electronics. Don't have that phone there buzzing and beeping and re-alerting you. You know, leave it outside. So make your bedroom this sleep haven where you can just settle down. And then when you get to bed, some people have problems because their brain starts to go over and over stuff, and am I going to get to sleep, and anything that's worrying you. And so this sleep technique is the breathing technique, really, really simple, just breathing out for longer than you breathe in. So as you breathe in, it's a comfortable in-breath. I always demonstrate this to my clients because I've seen some of them when I've said, just count as you breathe in, and I see them go, you know, that's not relaxing. That's not going to do it. Okay. So it's just a comfortable in-breath, and you just count 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever that comfortable in-breath is. And then as you breathe out, you're counting a couple of beats longer. So I never say what the count should be. It doesn't matter. It's whatever your comfortable in-breath is, whatever your comfortable out-breath. This is triggering your parasympathetic system that wants to calm you down, bring you into balance. So you just breathe in comfortably and then long, easy out breath, and just allow your body and your mind to start to relax. 3 minutes of it is going to calm you down. If you notice thoughts coming in, as inevitably they will, you just notice them. Don't get on board them. You know, they're like buses coming past the bus stop. Don't get on them. They're not taking you to sleep, okay? That's not the destination of thoughts. So you just notice them. You say, thank you. Let them go. Make the counting a little bit louder and just stick with the counting. Stick with just noticing the breath, how it feels, and, you know, the sensations you're getting from it. So it's just a very easy technique just to calm your body and your mind down so that you can drift off nicely to sleep. I'm feeling calmer already.
I am too. I was noticing, while you were chatting there, I was counting a couple of my breaths, and I go, I'm feeling comfortable. I'm feeling relaxed too. Here we are trancing each other out, just like not have to sleep here. I know it's Friday night, 7 p.m., but, you know, it's still not quite time to fall asleep here for us. But anyway, okay, wake myself up here. I love that because that's one of my favorite ones, and I use that not just to go to sleep. If I do it too long, I will fall asleep. But I found that doing it just two or three times in any stressful situation.
Yes.
Just calms me down, like we are right now. It's just, oh, okay, I just feel like everything's sort of, relaxing.
And nobody knows you're doing it. You're just sitting there, you know, you could be at work. Suddenly it's got a little bit stressful. Just go into your breathing, make those out breaths longer. Nobody knows what you're doing. You're just calming right down. And of course, the more calm you are, the more functionality of your brain becomes available to you. Sometimes I think we think that worrying is a useful tool. Not really when you're trying to make a decision. The calmer you are, the more of your brain function can operate perfectly. So just do a few of those breaths. Sitting in a meeting, start to get a bit wound up. Into my breath. Nobody knows. I'm feeling calmer.
Absolutely. And as you know, as we'll share with the audience, but I know you know this, is that if you're in a meeting and it is getting stressful and you do go into that type of breathing, it actually calms everybody else down. It
yes.
has this mirroring effect. Other people start mirroring you. It's fascinating how you can change the breathing of an entire room of people if you just concentrate on slow, concentrated, longer exhales, because that's when the body relaxes, is on the exhale. And I'm fascinating. And I always play this game in my mind, Pat, when I'm doing that. I'm in a stressful situation, or as you know, I teach classes on dealing with difficult people. That's one of my techniques, is not to put us to sleep, but just to relax. It's how you can relax the other person just by changing your breathing. And I love that because in your mind you're going, okay, I'm waiting for them to shift. I'm going to keep this breathing pattern going, this calm breathing pattern going. And then all of a sudden you'll see the other person shift. Their shoulders will drop a little bit. Their body will relax. You know, okay. Their mind is open now in a frame that we can talk civilly. They've calmed to the point where we're out of that difficult situation and into this calm situation. So just another tip, guys. Pat and I, when we get together, we love rabbit holes here.
And you can do it in the supermarket. You can be standing behind somebody, or perhaps there's something going on in front of you at the till that's getting a bit fractious. Just go into your breathing, and just your breathing will start to affect the people around you. And if you're thinking, oh, that can't be right, think about the opposite. If somebody's breathing really fast around you, how that starts to disquiet you. Sometimes we recognize things from the opposite of what we want to achieve, you know. So, you know, if somebody's kind of breathing up here and it's getting quite agitated, it affects your breathing. So you can just go into that quiet breathing, calm everybody down. You're doing the world a favor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I love that one. That's one of my favorite ones. What other, I know you have a couple other techniques for people that, whether it is menopause or autoimmune, for getting some good quality sleep.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked a bit about the bedroom environment. Your bedroom routine is really important. Sometimes, you know, at night we're sitting there in quite bright light, or, you know, gazing at a big TV screen. And of course, that's not releasing the hormones to get you ready for sleep. So the calmer and darker you can get the room, the more you're actually preparing yourself. And then, you know, if you've been sitting in dimmed light and you're feeling quite good, and then you get to the bathroom and you switch the bathroom light on just before you're going to brush your teeth, and you wake yourself back up again. So if you can use a hall light or a dimmer light in the bathroom so that you're not waking yourself up just before you go to sleep. And then, you know, think about what you're eating as well. There's lots of foods that help you, and that whole thing of menopause, and I, you know, you can give me some feedback for autoimmune as well. You know, if you're eating the right foods to help you to sleep, so foods that have magnesium in them, because magnesium helps to relax the body. It's a natural relaxant for the body. So foods with magnesium, or a magnesium supplement if you're having problems, or one that kind of in the past few years, I've realized is really powerful. And as well, if you're traveling and going through time zones, is cherry juice. Have you come across this, Sharon?
Tart cherry juice.
Tart cherry juice. Yes.
And I am amazed. It's not always easy to find, but I am amazed how helpful that is. It tastes good.
It's a very specific cherry. It's the Montmorency cherry, which is quite dark, and it helps to produce melatonin, which we know, we're not sure what's happening with melatonin during the night, but we know in the small hours of the morning, that's when the melatonin levels are highest in the brain. So if you're having problems with sleep, try some of this cherry juice, dark cherry juice. You can get it in a concentrate now. It might be easier out of season to get that. Or, you know, if you're traveling, you can get it in tablet form. I think that might be a bit too processed. That feels too processed for me, but a concentrate sounds okay. And if you're traveling across time zones, that can be something that helps to regulate you when you get to your destination. So thinking about those foods as well, something with magnesium, the melatonin, if you're going through menopause and you're getting very hot at night, then avoiding the trigger foods, you know, things like caffeine, foods that are high in sugar. Definitely not drinking those energy drinks. I was doing a workshop on sleep, and there was a young man in the audience, and he was saying that his problem at night was how restless he was, and his legs were restless. And I said, well, you know, restless legs is a thing, but we can talk about that. Anyways, the day went on. He put his hand up. He said, I think I know what the problem is now. He was drinking 8 cans a day.
Oh, my gosh. That seems like an enormous amount to me.
Huge. You'd think you would recognize that might be giving you a problem, but he hadn't really made that connection. So yeah, thinking about the foods, thinking about the caffeine, not too much sugar, alcohol. This is always a tricky subject to bring up because people go, oh, I like my glass of wine in the evening. Well, you know, perhaps a small one, but you might think that alcohol is relaxing you and giving you good sleep, but actually it interrupts those natural sleep patterns that I was talking about at the beginning. You don't get that same pattern if you've had alcohol. And of course it dehydrates you. Depending on what you're drinking, you might have to get up to go to the bathroom as well. So there's lots of reasons why it might feel like your friend, but it's not doing you any favors. So yeah, think about what you're eating and drinking as well as your overall routine for getting to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're going to try some of the different foods and or supplements, try them one at a time.
Yes.
Yeah, that I learned that the hard way. So I knew something was wrong, but then I had to sort of pick apart, okay, which one, or is it all of these together, or is it something a singular? And also an interesting thing, with there's different types of magnesium, and I found one particular one actually made me feel very warm and flushed. Then I switched to one, I think there's 6 or 7 different types of magnesium out there. So that one was the one that was the culprit, that when I said I took too many things at once and then had this flushing, and I was like, well, okay, what's that? Turned out to be a particular type of magnesium. But when I switched to a different type of magnesium, I didn't have those problems. And I did actually feel the muscles relax with this other type of magnesium. And I know everybody's different. So sometimes you just have to try them with your naturopath or your doctor's permission. There's blood tests to find out if you're low on some of these things too. So you can be sure and just ask your doctor if those are the kinds of things that would be of value in your particular case.
And it's a really good point you're making. It's a good idea to keep a sleep journal before you start messing about with stuff and trying stuff. Just keep a journal for 7 nights about, you know, what your pattern was, what time you went to sleep or what time you went to bed. You know, if there was anything that you'd done beforehand, and then what your sleep pattern was during the night, whether you woke up early or you woke up during the night, just start to look for patterns. And then if you change one thing at a time and do that one thing for a week and see whether the pattern's altered, what's happened with it before you try the next thing. It sounds like common sense, and it is, but you know, it's so easy. Oh, well, I'll just try this. Oh, that didn't work last night. Well, some of these things, you know, they need to be part of your routine before they start working properly. So a sleep journal is a good idea.
Well, I actually want to add to that, Pat, that a food journal along with that, because yeah. One of the things that happened to me was I sort of knew gluten bothered me a little bit, but I just, you know, how you love your bread, you know, and it's so easy to travel with some sort yeah. of bread product versus, I don't know, so a ham. So, you know, and I sort of would poo-poo it off, but I started getting just really body pain at night, sleeping, waking up with body pain. And lo and behold, I found with my food patterns that the nights that I had more body pain, I'd had more bread products during the day. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's interesting, because I'd had the celiac test, but I'm not celiac. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. But it was just a pattern. And now when I limit that, I don't have that problem. And I'm like, okay. And the other thing that I love about journaling is, I don't know about you, but what happens to me is I find something and it works, and then I start feeling really good, and then I think, oh, tonight I'll cheat, and then I get off, and then I forget what was it back, you know, 3 weeks ago that made me sleep so well. And so I can go back to my journal and go, oh, I remember the tart cherry juice. Yeah. Or whatever, you know, whatever it is, you can. So I find keeping track of those patterns is so vital to keep you on the track to healing, to feeling
yeah. better. Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to forget the things that are working.
Yeah, which I tend to do. I start to feel really good and I'm like, oh, this is great. And then you get off track. But we need to take a quick commercial break. When Pat and I get together, we could just chat and chat and chat. But we need to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back, guys.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity
Welcome
Healing
back,
International.
To the
Through their commitment
hour,
to creating community and providing
Saylor,
conscious
and
content, they aspire to uplift humanity
Pat,
on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating
tonight.
A more
she
conscious
is the
lifestyle.
Of Hot Women, Cool Solutions,
Listen
How to Control Menopause
imagine.
Symptoms Using Mind Body Techniques. She's also recently launched this fabulous program called SmarterMenopause.com.
It takes 5 seconds
it's just
to send a
loaded
text.
With free
and for those
resources,
5 seconds,
as well as
you're
a 30-day
blind.
Deep dive. We'll get into that
Life
in just
is worth
a little
more
bit.
Than a text.
But one of the things
Stay
I
alive.
Talked about in the opening,
Don't
Pat, that I want to make sure we touched on.
Visit
StopTextStopRex.org.
A message
sleep,
brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
What are some things... When I first was diagnosed,
hi, this is Sharon.
Times I
and of
was
course
told,
you know me from here
age.
On the Autoimmune Hour.
And I'm like,
maybe
I
you don't know I'm also
menopause.
An author.
But
my latest
maybe.
Book is for kids.
Because I don't know. I mean,
it's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters.
So,
a
what
winner
are some
of
things
a 5-star reader's favorite review
between menopause.
It's perfect for your early reader
or other
and a great
conditions.
Bedtime story well, for your young adventurers.
Menopause is an illness. It's
Check
just
it
a
out
phase of life. It's just like going through puberty.
That's P-I-N-K-Y.
And the hormones are changing. The reproductive hormones are changing. The estrogens and the progesterone.
See you there.
But also that is impacting on the major hormones as well. Adrenaline, cortisol, thyroid, these are all being affected at the same time. You know, nothing happens just in isolation. Each thing is knocking on to the other thing. And so there are symptoms that you can associate with what's happening with the hormones, like the hot flushes, the weight gain, the mood swings. And, of course, the change in the menstrual periods. But these can also be indicators of other things. So with the hot flushes, that's just such a common symptom of menopause. And it's actually a vasomotor, a cardio response to what's happening between the estrogen and the progesterone. But that's not the only thing that can cause you to have hot flushes. There might be something in medication that you're taking. There might be a medical condition that you've got. There might be something autoimmune that's causing the hot flushes. So it's really an exploration with your medical practitioner about how old you are and what's happening with your hormones. Now, you can have tests for estrogen and progesterone levels. You can have saliva tests. You can have blood tests. But what's happening with the hormones, you know, if you see a diagram, it looks like it's, you know, it's a very straight line. And of course, life isn't like that. Just as when you're having normal periods, the hormones are doing this all the time. That's also what's happening as you're going into menopause. They're fluctuating. So one day you might go to the doctor and those levels look perfectly normal. Another day you go and it looks like you're really deeply into your perimenopause. It can't just be a one-day thing, you know. There has to be a series of tests to find out what's happening over a pattern as to whether this is menopause or whether it's something else. Now, you can start to experience hot flushes normally. Well, you know, if I say normal, you know that I'm generalizing. Most women start to feel symptoms as they're entering their 40s. It might not be hot flushes initially, but the decline in the reproductive hormones starts to become noticeable as you enter your 40s. And then as you get to your early 50s, well, the average age of menopause is around 51. Mm. But of course, that's masking, you know, a lot of people who have that, a lot of women who go into that in their 40s, and then other women that it's later on in their 50s that happens. So you might start to experience something in your 40s if you think, well, my periods are still coming regularly, I'm not getting any other symptoms. Then if the doctor says, oh, well, we know what that is, that's, you know, that's the age you are, you might go, well, can we look at that a bit deeper, because I'm not sure that that's what it is. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Because the problem with so many things, and even with the autoimmune, is that a lot of the symptoms could be so many things. Fatigue, yeah. Brain fog. It could be so many things. It could even be, which is fascinating to me, maybe you're taking a variety of supplements or a multivitamin, yeah. And sometimes you're having a reaction to something in there, and it doesn't have to be one of the vitamins. Recently, I started a new supplement that was suggested by my doctor. And we both thought it would be great, but it turned out, I took one and I got hives, and it turned out to be the binding agent that I had an allergic reaction to, not the actual vitamin that was recommended for me, which my blood tests said were low, but it was the binding agent that I had this reaction to. So the body is so refined and complicated, and I think it's a beautiful thing, but you know, it's so complicated to be able to break apart, is it menopause or is it autoimmune or something else? And I'm glad you brought that up, because asking doctors to go deeper sometimes can be hard. Sometimes doctors feel like they're being challenged if you go, I don't know, that just doesn't seem right, and it's not that I'm defying my age.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the better informed you are before you go and speak to a medical professional, the better the outcome that you'll get, because you'll be able to challenge it more. And, you know, it can feel quite difficult because this is somebody you're going to as an expert. But, you know, they rely on looking on the internet as well. I've been to my GP with a problem. You know, I suddenly had a hearing loss and a dizziness, and I was sitting there describing it, and my doctor was looking on the internet to see what was going on. And I thought, okay, well, I could have done that too. Because if you're seeing a specialist, then, you know, that's different. But then, you know, they might not be a specialist in what is actually wrong with you. You might have something that is looking like it's in their specialist area, but it's something else. So there's so much, you know, our bodies and our minds are so complicated. The more we can present a clear picture of what's going on to the medical practitioner we're talking to, the better the result we're going to get. This is another reason for journaling. You know, something's going wrong. Writing some of it down so that when you're talking to the medical practitioner, you're presenting a really clear picture. So they say, well, does this happen more at night or in the morning? Or is this happening after you eat? Or if you've journaled it, you're not sitting there going, oh, I hadn't really thought, I don't know. You know, the clearer the information you can give, the better result you're going to get from it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, years ago, I was taught to journal only on, at the moment, on the right-hand side of the page, and then go back like a month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever you choose, and read what you wrote on the right-hand side of the page, and on the left-hand side of the page, write what's changed.
Mm.
And that was powerful for me, because a lot of things you think are going to be, oh my gosh, you know, this is going to be forever. We're short. They weren't. <Yeah. laughs> Or, you know, all sorts of things. It reminds you of so many things. And as you said, if you can go back and see the pattern when they say, when did this start? And you go, like 2 months ago. But you read the you read back in your journal, like, well, no, actually, I guess I was really started 6 or 8 months ago. Whatever. I just find it so helpful because, like you said, it's so hard to find the patterns without having written them down. I have a couple of dear girlfriends that sometimes we'll chat about things and they'll remind me, but Sharon, this or that. And I'm like, oh gosh, I had totally forgotten that.
Things that at the time they were so important. And then I forgot that completely. And one of the things, you know, we haven't talked about yet is menstrual periods. So you might think, oh, well, if I'm coming up for my menopause, then it's obvious, you know, my menstrual periods will stop. But you don't know what they're going to do before they stop. So for some women, they might just stay exactly as they've always been, and then one day they stop. And that was what it was like for me. But for other women, they'll get a lot heavier, or they'll get more frequent, or they'll get less frequent, or they'll get lighter. There's no one thing where you go, oh, okay, that's happened, that's it. Because, of course, if you're getting heavier bleeding, it could be that you're now in perimenopause, or it could be that you've got fibroids. So, well, what's going on? You know, so again, if there's something that's happening, rather than assuming that you know what it is, there might be something that where you need to go and have a bit more investigation to find out.
Yeah, absolutely. But we need to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back, guys.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon. Recently, I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust.
Welcome back.
Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
And it's my pleasure to have my dear, dear friend Pat Duckworth.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine
tonight.
And tune in.
She is the author of Hot Women, Cool Solutions, How to Control Menopause Symptoms Using Mind Body Techniques. She's also recently launched this fabulous program called SmarterMenopause.com. It's just loaded with free resources as well as a 30-day deep dive. We're down to just, oh gosh, already 13 minutes. I want to know more. I so enjoyed your 12 free videos on smartermenopause.com. Those are awesome. And really gave me a lot of insight. I was like, wow, some of this I wish I had known during the earlier stages.
On your path to,
let's talk a little bit about the 12 videos that you offer for free. I love that.
Part of my mission in life is to get women to talk about this, because there is still a bit of a taboo, and a lot of women don't want to talk about menopause until it hits them, and then they're, what's going on? Is this my menopause? Is it not?
So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling,
talk to the doctor about it.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to get stuff out there.
Join us at projectforgive.com.
So that women go, ah, okay, that's making sense. Oh, this is the words that I would use. And, oh, that symptom of brain fog, I didn't realize that that was menopause. And, oh, the hot flashes, I kind of knew about. The weight gain, that's come as a bit of a surprise, you know. Oh, and the mood swings, I'm feeling like a teenager, but now I'm an adult and nobody cuts me any slack, you know. So it was to really demystify some of that and say, well, this is what's going on. Because once we start to understand the causes, we're in a better position to understand the solutions and what we can do about it. And the more you feel you're supported at this stage of life, the more you feel you've got options, the better your experience will be. That's not just me saying it. There is research from around the world that women who feel supported and feel that they can do something, that they've got some control over it, they're going to feel a much better experience at this stage of life. And it can be a really good stage of life. It can be fun. I want to get that out there.
Oh, it's a fabulous stage of life. And I'm glad you brought up when we first started the chat, you talked about it's just like puberty. I had never made that relationship. I don't know why, Pat. It seems so obvious. But sometimes the obvious isn't obvious until commented on. But it's true. But I think the reason women don't talk about it very much is, I guess we're finally admitting our age at some point when we say, look, I'm at that stage where this is happening.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, when you were a teenager and your body started to change shape and these, you know, mood swings were coming around and there were all sorts of different symptoms, but it was part of growing up and you could talk to your friends about it and, you know, your mum told you what was happening and, you know, you were getting all this support and it just seemed like part of life. Well, the bracket at the other end is all of this kind of coming to its natural end. And that doesn't mean life has ended. It's just this phase, you know, where you were in that reproductive stage. So yeah, I think women feel not happy about talking about it because it's about getting older. Personally, I would rather get older than the alternative.
I so agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. And I want to dive in just for a couple of minutes about brain fog, though. That was happening during my autoimmune as well. And it was hard to know what was really causing brain fog. And it seemed difficult for me to describe in language that it finally took about two or three different specialists that said, oh, that's brain fog. Because it's so, I don't know, it's hard to describe. It's different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, weight gain's obvious. Brain fog.
Yeah, so there's that lack of clarity that you can't think as clearly as you used to. You can't make decisions as quickly. Whereas you used to multitask and it was easy, suddenly just doing one thing starts to get difficult. You lose words when you're speaking. Or you start to forget the kids' names, which is a bit embarrassing. Or, you know, place names go out of your head. And some of this, you know, let's go right back to the beginning. In menopause can be because of the disrupted sleep. You know, the disrupted sleep is a big player in all of this. But, you know, again, associated with that is the hormones, because estrogen supports our brain function. And as the estrogen levels go into decline, that becomes more of an issue. So we have to find different ways of supporting our brain function so that we can get back to thinking clearly, making decisions, remembering where we put the keys, you know, not wandering around with our glasses on our head, looking for our glasses. And don't tell me you've never done that, because we've all done that. Yeah. You know, and you can think, you know, it starts to worry you. You think, I'm going crazy here. And we hear so much about dementia now and Alzheimer's. It can be a real worry. Understand it can be one of the symptoms of menopause, is that, you know, decline in the way that you used to be able to think. But there's stuff you can do about it. So don't worry.
Awesome. Now, when we're talking to our doctor, though, we go and we get a blood test maybe for the estrogen and the progesterone and cortisol, some of the other hormones. You said that like a one-time test really doesn't give you the pattern. And thinking about this, I've never been offered come back daily for the next 7 days or whatever. It's always been a one-time test. And then the other thing that bothers me about those tests is it says, you know, you'll get some sort of range, like 50 to 250 is normal, and you're 52, and they'll say, oh, you're in the normal range. I'm like, yeah, by two.
Yeah.
So is there specific ways that we, or tests that we ask for? Or how do we get this pattern instead of the one time that seems to be what's typically offered?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it varies in North America to how it is in the UK. In the UK, it wouldn't be that normal to be offered testing for it. And you might have to go to a nutritionist. Certified nutritionists, certainly in the UK, would offer you not just a one-off test. They'd want to know over a period what those levels were doing. So, you know, you might have to find somebody privately who offers that kind of testing. Whether it's saliva test or blood test. And some specialists will tell you that saliva is better, and others will tell you that blood is better. You need to do a little bit of research into it and find somebody locally that could do it for you. Sometimes these days, you know, you can do this stuff and send it off in a jiffy bag and get the results back. And I'm sure that's fine. But again, it's finding a laboratory or a specialist who will explain to you what they're going to find out from the tests that they're doing and whether you're going to need more than one test. But just think about it. If you were having normal menstrual periods in the sort of in your 30s, your estrogen and progesterone levels would not be staying the same all the way through the month. You know, that's how we know when we're, you know, in a reproductive stage, is that these things are altering the whole time. That doesn't stop once you enter perimenopause. They're still going up and down. So in a one-off test, they're looking at, are you in that range? And, you know, that might not be the whole answer, the whole picture to what's going on in your body.
Great. Great. Thank you for answering that. I've always wondered about that. It's so annoying when they say, they give you this huge range and you're like, really? Yeah. I'm like two into the normal and you say everything's fine. I don't know.
Well, just think about it. If you're fluctuating and on the day you've gone in, you're on a day when it would have naturally have been high, and you're getting a low reading, but it's in the range because in the lower part of the cycle, that would be in the range. But actually, that should have been a time when it would have been high.
Yeah.
So if you'd gone on another day, it would have been out of that range. Do you see what I mean? It's kind of, well, it's not like one level that's running through the whole month. So how are you judging it on that one sample?
I love the free videos, and that's at smartermenopause.com. She's got 12 awesome videos that really gave me a great overview like you're hearing right now. Tell us a little bit more about the 30-day deep dive. I haven't done that part yet, but it sounds so fascinating, exciting, because the support.
Because it's not just about the content, which, you know, there's great content. And also, because I'm a hypnotherapist, I'm teaching all sorts of mind-body techniques, relaxation techniques, visualizations. They're all part of that course. So you go away with a toolkit. You're not just thinking there's nothing I can do. You think, oh, what's in my toolkit for this? Particularly around those four common symptoms, the brain fog, the hot flushes, the mood swings, the weight gain, whole bunch of tools that you can use. But also there's a community around the Facebook group and some coaching that I do live webinars to talk about this stuff in greater depth and to take people's questions. So it's so important, you know. We can read the book and do a bit of the, you know, watch the video. and then we don't actually take action. So having somebody coaching you, you know what this is like in your business, and you know, if you're a sports person, you know that the coach keeps moving you towards the goal. Whereas you might think, oh, I don't think I will go for a run today. Well, the coach says, no, you've got to go every day. I want to see you out on that track. It's the same with this. It's about getting that coaching to make it work. I'm not about just getting you, selling you some content and then walking away. It's about, okay, so now how can I hold your hand to get you to the finish line and really see those positive results?
Well, I'm so excited that you finally, I know you've been working on it for a while, so I'll say finally we're able to launch it, because I know one of the things that I love about you, Pat, is oftentimes you confirm my sanity. You know, it's sort of like, no, Sharon, that's in there. Don't worry about it. And sometimes that's what you need in a coach, especially around the wellness area. And yours is menopause, but especially around the wellness area, sometimes like, I'm not crazy, you know, and that sometimes is even more powerful and allows you to relax and put your anxiety on the back burner and be able to get on with getting well, is when you just have a great coach who's able to say, that's within the normal range. Now, what can we do to make it optimal? I understand, but you know, let's just knowing that you're not going crazy.
And sometimes the very first thing that women want is hope.
Yes.
You know, they've been living for a while with no hope. And now it's, do you know what? There's a whole bunch of stuff we're going to do. And even if not everything works, something will work. There is hope in this. And that just makes such a difference. It makes a difference to all of us to think, this is needless suffering. You know, this is a natural stage of life. I don't need to suffer to it. There's hope and there's a whole bunch of stuff I can do. And then let's see where we get from there.
But I want to say that too about autoimmune. It's not a natural process, part of our cycle.
Yeah.
However, the things that Pat offers works with autoimmune. Obviously, the sleep process, absolutely a great way. I used that with the autoimmune pain that I had. So thank you, Pat, for being on the show. I so appreciate it. Tell us a little bit more about your book, Hot Women, Cool Solutions, and where we can find it, as well as your other website, patduckworth.com.
So Hot Women Cool Solutions, it started out as a mind body works book so that I could share a lot of these techniques. And then I realized, well, I want to give you more than that. So I split it up chapter by chapter into symptoms and gave some mind body techniques, but also those practical tips that you can just implement. Hot Women Cool Solutions, it's on Amazon. You can buy it wherever. And my website, patduckworth.com. Well, actually, let me just wind back. Hot Women Cool Solutions has a website as well, and there are free gifts on that. There are visualizations on that and other tools to help you with your menopause or with your autoimmune symptoms. If you're getting hot flushes or if you're getting that poor sleep, patduckworth.com is my main site for people who want to contact me, find out more about what I do. And of course, now there's smartermenopause.com, which has got loads of stuff on it, and just come and grab it. Come and grab it.
Thank you so much, Pat, for being on the show and being such a great resource for us here on the Autoimmune Hour. It's always so appreciated. Everyone, be sure and go over to understandingautoimmune.com. That's true. We have a new URL for our site instead of Life Interrupted Radio. Both still take you to the same place, but we're using understandingautoimmune.com now to be more clear on exactly what we do here at the Autoimmune Hour. And you can go over there and sign up for the Courage Club and get your free transcripts if you wanted to check out some of the things that printed out and highlight some of the things that Pat shared tonight, as well as join us every Friday night, 7 p.m. for a brand new episode. As always, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. And again, join me next Friday. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.